Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron Tykes 9th, 2017, and we're here live for the next 2 hours. I've got some interesting news here. You know, you're always listening to me high speed, low drag. It's because I always get my cup of morning joe from CEFCO. I go there this morning, and I don't know if you're aware of it or not. I'm sure you are. Are they aware of it? This is Cameron. You had a water problem. Well, they're still worrying about the water, so I couldn't get my CEFCO coffee this morning, so I'm freaking out. I walk in there, and I start putting my hand on my chest, and they all start laughing. They go, sorry, not today, maybe tomorrow. But they do have a great special on Gatorades, two for $3. You can still get your smokes, newspaper, the whole works. So go there, check them out. The ladies at the Hilltop CEFCO here in Cameron, and tell them I sent you, say hi, the whole works. Let me tell you what's going on today's show. Like always, we're going to have three more stories of self-defense in real life from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. Now, we always can learn something from these true stories, so I want you to get ready to take notes on these. These are good stories, and I give you my excellent commentary. Today's carry an attorney. It's going to be a repeat of Rick Dodd going over nonviolent dispute resolution, adult and child ego states. And this is an excellent segment. Excellent segment. So everybody, make sure you listen. And the reason we're replaying it is because Dodd and our attorney extraordinaire, Benton Ross Watson, they are out of town and could not be here this week. So we're going to do a replay. You'll glean lots of information for replay. In my topic of interest segment, I'll go over all the events that are happening with the voice of law enforcement, return of common sense, of wisdom and experience. Today's product spotlight, arms at 254. Recorded interview again for the benefit of all our new listeners who know nothing about me. And hopefully after listening to me, they won't change the channel either. So with all that, we got a lot going on. Let's get right into it here and start off with our stories of real life from the American Rifleman. I've got this one out of the August. This is the current issue, August 2017 issue. And story number one reads as follows. Virginia mother and her 7-year-old son were out collecting trash for the Boy Scouts project when two pit bulls started menacing them along the road. To protect her son, the woman told her child to go home. Although the boy screamed as the dogs charged, his yelling did not scare off the animals. She charged at the woman, dragging her to a ditch and tore at her body, causing severe injury. The woman's landlord, a concealed carry permit holder, happened by and saw the attack. The armed citizen, he said he fired his gun, sending one of the canines scurrying off, then shot again at the one that stayed behind and was still attacking the woman. A friend of the woman arrived and administered first aid until the medics arrived. The woman, who was flown to a Richmond hospital with severe injuries while her son suffered only a small scratch, they have since then initiated legal proceedings to have the dogs euthanized. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's my expert commentary on this particular story. I read this story itself from Wild Animals while on a Boy Scout hike with his son. Well, this story is no different other than the woman needed to be rescued because she didn't have a gun. People were mocking CJ's reasons as one made up just so he could have an excuse to carry a rifle in public. Well, first off, you don't need an excuse to carry in the open. And wild animals or domesticated dogs can be and are at times a danger to life and health. So to all you whiners out there who are scared of guns and your own shadow, please, for sanity's sake, please just shut up and mind your own business. Story number two. Just after 11 a.m. one day, a bad guy in Coleraine Township, Ohio, walked out with a man clothing and a black hat, entered the lobby and demanded their money. Bank complied, but a concealed hand. The alleged criminal and the customer exchanged fire. Beck left the scene wounded with no other injuries or casualties reported. In my commentary, I'm reading this story because it took place in a bank. And some people may be saying, well, the lice had a gun in there because it's a bank. Well, let me straighten that out for you real quick. Like, in the license to carry laws, nowhere does it say you can't go into a bank with a concealed or openly carried handgun if you have a license. It is not listed in Penal Code 4603 or Penal Code 46035 or anywhere else. The only two ways they can keep a person or by giving a verbal command by someone in authority of the premise. So kudos to the concealed carry permit holder in this story. He went in to probably deposit money, but instead deposited lead into his alleged criminal. Story number three. A neighbor was summoned to save the lives of two infants. This makes your skin crawl, man. A neighbor was summoned to save lives of two infants after a cry for help. While the man was sitting at home, a 12-year-old girl who was staying next door came by and told him there was trouble. Grabbing his firearm, the man went to the home where he discovered that his neighbor was holding his set of twin 3-month-old babies underwater in a bathtub tub while threatening their mother with a knife. The armed citizen pulled his revolver and fired two shots at the father, hitting him twice in the back, killing him. The children were taken to the hospital and were released in stable condition. The neighbor told news reporters that he felt he did the right thing. Yeah, right, Trey? Ladies and gentlemen, I have a personal problem with this story. The neighbor stopped this nutcase with a revolver. A revolver carries a minimum of 5 rounds. The neighbor shot him with 2 rounds. In this case, in my opinion, he had left 3 too many rounds in his gun. The man holding the twins underwater should have taken all 5 rounds. That piece of scum needs to be eradicated from this planet and all who are like him. And that's what I think. Now, I'm going to read to you before I run out of time because I got a hard break. We're trying to be professional here, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to give us a call here, the number is 254-697-6633. Give us a call here. But let me read to you today my opinion piece for this week. And I've entitled it, Just Because You Got One Doesn't Mean Squat. Ladies and gentlemen, getting a license in the state of Texas, a license to carry in the state of Texas, is no big deal. So don't make it sound like it's some intense program that only a few can manage. The license to carry class in Texas is a joke, and I'll tell you why. It's too damn short. A program that used to be 15 hours, then 10 hours, and now only 5.5 hours cannot begin to prepare you for what a novice will contend with on the streets. The very first thing I tell my student in the first minute of my class is, if you are here for giggles or just to get a license because it makes it easier to purchase a gun, then get out of my class now. I'm not going to waste my time with some wannabe who wants to pack heat and think they're safe now because they can now legally carry a handgun. These people are a danger to themselves and others if they do not get advanced training. A conversation I had with someone who had gotten robbed at their business told me, "Are you carrying a gun for protection?" And they replied, "Well, I have my license to carry, but I'm scared of guns. And I never shot a gun before, but I hit the target all in the same area." Ladies and gentlemen, novice, scared of guns, no life experience with guns, yet they're a so-called excellent shot. Women, if you plan on carrying a gun, you better know what you're doing with it. Let me read to you a quote from John C. Maxwell from his book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. Quote, ability isn't created in a crisis. It only becomes seen. Everything you have done in practice and the practices you have failed to do come to a head when you're under pressure. This is me talking now. When the stuff hits the fan, this is not a time to learn a new skill. That piece of paper, the certificate you get at the end of the class, doesn't mean squat if you don't back it up with practice. We are not baking cakes. We are not fixing cars. We are not painting houses. We are carrying a firearm to protect ourselves, our property, and our loved ones. You will be placed in a vulnerable position if you do not train yourself and will gnash your teeth after the fact saying to yourself, if I only had time to train or I trained some more. If you don't train, only make the problem worse. Get out of the way so someone who took the time and are serious about protection and survival can do what needs to be done. Shooting a life-size target at 7 feet, standing still in a controlled environment for the purpose of self-defense training is just as worthless as the certificate of completion you get after taking the license to carry class if you don't push your level of ability of your mind and your firearm. So go look in the mirror and make a decision. Call me, and I will train you well. The number here, 254-697-6633. Email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Go to my website at aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. Look at our videos on our YouTube channel at Aaron's Gun Shop. And we also have on Podbean, iTunes, so on and so forth. And we will see you on the other side.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do that needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Bulb Renseed Company for friendly service, seed pepper, and zero-turn big dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Bulb Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
Arch Coons, the owner of AMC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols and shotguns, becomes easy. Go to ANC 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Sentex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Sentex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at SentexTacticalGear.com. Sentex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Sentex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at SentexTacticalGear.com.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Here with me today is super attorney of law himself, attorney Rick Dodd. Rick, how's it going?
Oh, it's great today. I hope everybody's in the day.
It's always a pleasure to have either you on it. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, 254-697-6633 if you want to be part of the show. Rick, what I'm going to do is I'm going to preface this segment by LTC aspect of it, and then we're going to get into your expertise on what we're going to be talking about. And ladies and gentlemen, what it is, I teach guns, tactics, scenarios, body language, everything. Solution. One of the lessons to learn when learning nonviolent dispute resolution is the understanding of ego states. There are three, and we all have them. It just depends on what happens to us and how we respond to a situation, which determines which isn't. Those three ego states are parental, adult, and child ego states. The scary thing is that a person can shift from one ego state to another in the same sentence. So being good students and learning how ego states work, we can better direct a potentially dangerous situation into a nonviolent disagreement. All of us see this happening on a daily basis with other people all around us, and even ourselves. All we did right now is just put scientific terms on what we already know. Now that I, somewhat set up this section, I'm going to go to attorney Rick Dodd here in a second, but what I want to do is read three short paragraphs to get you lined up for what we're talking about here. And this is about the parent, adult, and child ego states. This is from our training manual. It says, observation of spontaneous social activity reveals that from time to time, people show noticeable changes in posture, viewpoint, voice, vocabulary, and other aspects of behavior. These behavioral changes are often accompanied by a shift in feeling. In a given individual, a certain set of behavior patterns often corresponds to one state of mind, while another set is related to a different the first. These changes and differences give rise to the idea of ego states. So in technical language, an ego state may be described as a system of feelings accompanied by a related set of behavior patterns. The position is then, and this is an important paragraph, a very short one. The position is then that at any given moment, each individual, important, the whole thing, can shift with varying degrees of readiness from one ego to another. That's expertise and breaking it down.
Without expertise, they'll sort of move. I tell them I'm going to be, and really that's what I do. It's like Warren Zevon says, lawyers, guns, and money, those are the three things that help us get out of conflicts.
Well, you're rolling today. Okay, go.
So that's what it takes. And of course, what you just wrote back in like 19 when he started breaking down the id, the superego, to do with the desire we want to get by acting the way we thought we would act as a child. And then our id, which is a subconscious thing that occurs because we want what we want and for no other reason. The superego is something that we learn basically from our parents about how to interact in society. So this is exactly what you're talking about. As far as breaking it down goes, let's kind of think about how that applies to what we're here talking about today, guns.
Okay.
A classic example, I think, would be some of the fellows that are in the NFL. We hear a lot about guys in the NFL getting shot. We hear about road rage situation where, you know, the big guy that's been in the NFL who is used to getting his way because physicality, conflict resolution, it's an idea to defuse the situation. It's like a child pulls his way into the situation and winds up taking a bullet because the other person sees him as a threat to their physicality and uses part of the lawyer's guns and monies to end this conflict. So, like, one example would have been Will Smith. I think he was with New Orleans back in, it's just been about a year ago, where there was a traffic wreck, and he didn't really think about the way to defuse. In fact, he actually threw gasoline on the fire, so to speak. These guys, like rappers, you know, we hear about different rappers getting killed. They have the same concept of self. In other words, that I'm going to get this because they're used to it. It's kind of like the jury and the cars, you know, guns become, and you have to burn with that if you're going to make it through. A tight do is act more like an adult, is to listen to what the other person is. There's all sorts of things out there that can take from that listening, outside interference. You got the cars passing by, you have to be getting ran over on the highway. So one of the things you really ought to try to do is get out of the way, get out of the highway, get off to the side so that you don't get ran over, so you're not worried about something else is saying if they are. So you can listen, and then try to, after you've heard what they had to say, try to repeat it so that you understand what they're saying that you understand. In other words, that you're showing an appreciation for what they're saying. Not necessarily that you have to agree with what they're saying, but at least you're showing an appreciation by repeating something like, well, gosh, as I understand it, what you're telling me is. And not only does that give that appreciation, but it sort of gives them a little bit of time to calm down as opposed to pointing the finger and saying, well, blah, 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 you did this and you did that and you shouldn't have done that. That's more of a childlike answer to it.
Rick, I want to make a comment about that. You know, as you're talking here, because I'm studied on this and I have to teach this, I teach it to a lot of people who may not be familiar with the types of terms that we're talking about. They live it, they experience it, but they don't really know what's going on until we explain it and break it down. But what's interesting is you're talking my language. I know what you're saying. And what's interesting is if you and I are talking, because we understand each other and we understand those basic concepts of ego states and all that, it's almost like we can have a very civilized conversation because we can see, oh, didn't mean to go that way. Sorry, let's back it off or whatever. And if everybody understands that and knows that, and hopefully they will after this segment or to some degree, it'll make it easier for conversation and things to get along. I just found that fascinating.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, it's not just this conversation, but it wouldn't be a bad idea to take a course in it. Dale Carnegie does a great course in this sort of thing. And, of course, we haven't had Dale Carnegie in camera, but I was able to take it. Our industrial station set up a class. So if that comes back to Cameron, and hopefully it will soon, I might even take it again because it's been 15 or 20 years ago. Warren Buffett, believe it or not, who has degrees from some major university, has his Dale Carnegie Center on his wall. He says that's the certificate that he believes was responsible for any other certificate or more than any other training, and I found that to be fascinating. But, you know, these are not magical terms, and these are not magical thoughts. You know, we want to hear about...
They're basically facts.
They are.
They happen.
Yeah. Oh, and we put these terms on, like you said, the id, the superego, the ego. I think Bernay, the were quoting, really simplifies it more than Sigmund Freud did. So, again, it's just a situation where you have to act like an adult, and you have to consider or concern yourself with the other person's needs, wants, and desires, not just yours, because, again, that's more of a childlike
right
response.
a lot of body language comes into this too. As you're, if you body understand these terms and the ego states, in the course of the conversation, I made a comment about how that one sentence was extremely important and says that individuals can shift with readiness from one ego state to another. You can be in a conversation of maybe canting off to you, staring at you, say, oh, you possibility of that happening.
Their body language, which is, you know, obvious, we all exhibit certain body languages depending on our good listener. You have to pay attention to what the other person is saying. In other words, if you don't listen and you don't hear what they're saying, repeat what they're doing instead as your the id part.
My class, what do I talk about?
Their body language, which is, you know, obvious, we all exhibit certain body languages depending on our good listener. You have to pay attention to what the other person is saying. In other words, if you don't listen and you don't hear what they're saying, repeat what they're doing instead as your the id part.
My class, we might talk about this, where you asked you a question and you kind of caught part of it and you assumed it's what they said was this, and your answer was responding to them what you thought they said, and it was a close enough answer, or what they told you was a close enough answer to what you needed to make you go in the direction you thought you had to go. And then you ask another question, and it was still a little skewed. It wasn't 100% accurate, and it makes you go off course just a little bit more. And all of a sudden, before you know it, it's like, wait a minute, wait. What do you think I asked you originally? And then the person says, you asked me this. I go, no, I didn't ask you that at all. It's because I spoke, you heard, but you didn't send it back to me for confirmation, and it's potential for escalation. It happens all the time. If you're married, it happens all the time.
Oh, right? Yeah. There's a little deal that we used to do in back at Ada Henderson in like the fifth grade. We'd sit around in a circle, about 50, and the deal was that you weren't allowed to repeat it, but they would go around, and almost always that 15th person, what they said was just different.
I used that class. What you're doing? I said the first person smells like a rose, and by the time the 100th person comes out, she's a battle axe and smells like an old shoe. I'm like, how does that happen? And it gets changed. The question. Hey, Trey, ready for a 1 minute break? Okay. Here's the question. It comes to the courtroom, ego states. Comes to
well, you know, when you talk about getting, you know, you have a lot of, and of course, the most important player in the courtroom is the jury, and their job is to sit with their mouth closed and their ears open and try to hear all the evidence. Now, in order for them to get all that evidence, the lawyer, whose job is to give them that evidence in a fashion such that they can take it in and catalog it and classify it, he has to also be very careful about what he does to them, assimilating that. You're a lawyer and you're out the window, you're not doing your job. It's very important for everyone carefully and keep their cool, because it is a high effect, might be, and you can't afford really to get angry. Those emotions take away from that ability to listen and understand what's going on. It's just as important to understand what's the aisle as it is to understand what's going on your side of the aisle in order to be successful in the courtroom.
So if I'm talking in an adult manner and I know if I say something, I'm going to get somebody from an adult to a parental child, almost in a courtroom, that could be advantageous for to get a trigger somebody, right?
Oh, it happens all the time. And, of course, you know, we look for that. Most of the time, as lawyers, when we're doing depositions, that's all pretrial. We are communicating with the other lawyers. And I learned that early on because I saw some of the old cats doing it to me. You know, they would put my bed. I'm like, well, what happened afterwards? And then I realized, they've been doing this for 35 years.
Now you have, and now you know what buttons to push, right?
That's right.
All right, let's take a quick break, Trey. We'll see you on the other side. It's Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program, and today's June 17th. We'll be back in a minute or two. Welcome back. Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio, and I'm here with Super Attorney Rick Dodd, and we're going over ego states. Ego states are very important to know, understand, and learn to help de-escalate, to have nonviolent dispute resolution. If you're a licensed to carry holder, this is one of the segments you're going to go. You're going to sign affidavits that you learn, and maybe give a couple examples of how it can go south real fast, and then maybe once it goes south, get it back to a level playing field.
Well, you were talking about, we were talking about poor listening, of course. If you are in a tight situation and you don't hear the other person and instead continue to be accusatory, like you should have and you didn't and why didn't you, it's you know, it's sort of like an argument in a marriage. I mean, you've got to be a good listener, and you have to be able to situationalize things are just going to escalate. And when things escalate out in a situation where someone might be having a gun and willing to use it, if they get really upset state, you might be no longer with us. So it's important to have those listening skills and hear what the other person is saying. So the way things can go south is if you don't, and the other person escalates into a situation of using their physicality, as I was talking about some of the football players might do, some of the, and when I say some, I mean some of the dude situations where things aren't going their way and their childlike attitudes comes out.
You know, Rick, in my class, when I'm teaching License to Carry, we have been so, I guess, neutered in the sense of how much time I've got to give all this information, so I've got to be very dramatic in my teachings. And over ego states, you need to shut up and sit down, and the person just looks at me, and everybody's looking at me, and I go, that, ladies and gentlemen, is a parental ego state. How do you think the student responded to that? Kind of bucked up, looked up, and said, hey, well, wait a minute here, what's going on? That's immediate conflict right there. And then I also show the example of how, okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, watch. I'm going to say, hey, pal, I'm sorry that I came from. I'm having a rough day. Please forgive me. I hope you accept my apology. What's happening there is I'm taking it from child paradigm. Would that be a great way to say it?
Sure.
And I'm leveling it back out on the scale there to adult to adult. Because if you're not speaking adult to adult, you got conflict.
You know, the child's going to come out and say, hey, you know, that's none of your business. I want to do this.
The person's going to jabronal. So when you have the same method?
Same method, yeah. Again, you have to be a good listener. Find out basically who's doing what. And, of course, you know, depending on the elevation of the conflict, you're careful. You know, if they're already drones on each other, it might be best just back a couple steps.
Yeah. I'm always talking about it. I ask people in my class who does pot, and I tell them I do pot every day. Pot's a very important aspect of my life. And if I don't do pot, I'm really messed up. And pot stands for perception of threat. Pot. And they all go, ha, 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 funny, funny, funny.
Absolutely.
Don't day job, right? But perception of threat is very important. So when you're coming into it, what's the perception? How do I come in on this? And the best idea we're adults. Where do you go?
Is someone who can hear what's going on and pose to people like they're your child, or conversely,
to read what it said. Adam's on the same sheet of music. Oh, it's parent, adult, child. It says, this is your parent means that you're in the same state of, and you touched on this, that you're in the same state of mind as one of your parents used to be, and you're responding as he or she would with the same posture, gestures, vocabulary, feelings, etc. This is your, it means that you've just made an objective appraisal of the situation and are using the thought process and conclusions you have come to. It also says here, the implications are every individual has had parents or substitute parents, and that he or she carries within them the needs of those parents as he or she perceived them, and that these parental ego states can be activated under certain circumstances. Then every individual, including children, mentally retarded individuals, and schizophrenics, is capable of objective data processing, can be activated. So, in them. And then, was once younger than he or she carries inside of them fixed relics of the earlier years that will be stances. So, once again, a boy or girl around himself, all the while being to be activated by somebody pushing the right button.
Or the wrong button.
Or the wrong button.
For instance, if lie that the other person is wrong about this, that's going to escalate. And that's the parent coming out saying, you're wrong. If you use language like selfish or idiot,
it escalates things with me.
Yeah.
But then again, it doesn't, because I'm well versed in ego states.
Well, I hope so. I cannot imagine you calling your wife any of those things.
Oh, absolutely.
But she's none of those things. She would beat you up.
She would. She'd shoot me. That's what she'd do.
With blame, salt. And if we react in right or wrong, it's sort of like careful not to
touch on it earlier. 30 minutes got you pretty much down. Okay, things go states. I'm in court too, and I bring this up in court because, God forbid, one of us out there, LTC or something, gets in trouble. Since this is our LTC segment and attorney segment, I got to bring that in here. And for some reason, I'm watching into yourself to show confidence, mesh up very well.
You know, think more in terms of these conflicts that are out in the street where the other person might have the gun, mm-hmm. Because you know when you want a big deal.
If we can we do that?
No, about a minute.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to say it.
I can do something on laws.
I got a release here, Rick's in, and he wants to sit here in the studio here having a nation talking about this, that, and the other, and we're cut short, and we're like, oh, cut short. That's why we're fumbling. We're waiting for a commercial. Some questions you can come or go to the website, Aaron's. And after they took it, when we come back, 11 o'clock hour.
Mesothelioma, trauma, defective products, and in call the tough law firm in Cameron.
To carry a handgun for Aaron's Gun Shop Adventures fills the void, or email me at and set up a class or seminar to start self-defense. Go to our website, Aaron's Gun Shop. We have seminars. Call 254-697 on how to get started with your... This segment of High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-760. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Also accepted. County West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail 54-6035 and ask for Dustin Thompson or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail
Sport Trackers. Stop by 253 and David Trill, who can take all the housework and display in your play for purchase. You can find a store full of Aaron apparel. Everything from boots. Give Two Wheel Customs a call at area 4-222-5760.
Now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of insightful, Randy Dixon, voice.
Morning, everyone. The 29th day of July. Just think, only three more weeks and we start football. Can't wait. That time of the year when everything's just almost perfect in the world. You know, I had a program I was going to do today. And I was going to talk a little bit about what stalking is and the seriousness of stalking, especially with those of you that got teenagers or maybe high school, aiding in today's world. Up on what Matt was talking about just a few minutes ago. You know, the five, you know, first week, dragon's breath, you know, besides the fact that I think I dated a girl that had dragon's breath one time. But anyway, the one is that you can definitely tell if your sprinkler system's going to work because it's flame out about 20-foot long in your house or your sprinkler system's going to work. The next shotgun shell that was on this hole poppers. To scare the intruder, to call their bluff. Bullets, not noise. Coming down here today, I was listening to Matt about, you know, if you're prepared or not prepared. If you can, I can go by. It says that I'm a brain Texas. We're supposed to. Take the firearm out and learn how to train. Go down to Aaron, shoot some rounds through it. And that's my, once again, you know, just saying you're a license to carry holder doesn't make you an AVL license to carry owner. Use something that's... Now, the next shotgun shell, one of the five legal justifications for shot the suspect. Additionally, people using the rubber buckshot round might want to ditch the shotgun, even rubber projectiles. Can I ask you? And I'm going to inflict a lot more from and it goes still come unless you're close enough. The TTE, steel by a wad encased in a hull. Like what they used to do during the days of the Alamo and all that, they put that cover that enemies may be hiding behind. For other words, the people who were trackers, maybe during Vietnam or some of that period, where they would be hiding in the jungles, that covert, trying to surprise attack upon us. In other words, the ammo is effective at penetrating its cover. It'll slice right through it, making your shotgun equally as dangerous as firing a volley of .308 at the attacker, and that's what it does. Certainly effective at the intended target for yourself and anybody else that's around you. You got to use common sense. You got to use some practicality. Well, that's probably absolutely worthless, but is the confetti. Sometimes you read something and your brain automatically corrects it. It just sounds, mind rejects it. Many times we do that. This is one of those times. Confetti rounds. The very notion that loading a shotgun with confetti would be a good idea to anyone in mind is mind-boggling. I mean, y'all have all been to or seen on TV the sporting events or the NASCAR events where after the race is over, they shoot, ain't going to stop, so that kind of stuff at a person and harmlessly fire confetti at them. Shotgun at me, I don't care what it is. If I have an opportunity to get my little weapon that I keep, you ain't going to walk away with confetti. I'll promise you that right now. Aside from an obvious arm rules, the ammo is harmless, folks. Don't believe me. Ask Brandon Lee. Oh, wait, you can't because he's dead. The business end of a shotgun firing an ammo type is anything but harmless, and there's still a massive concussion blast. And I'll say this, folks. No matter what ammo you decide to use for your home defense, be sure that it functions 100% in shotgun before you to use it, when do you have to use it. And that's the key. You know, I'll tell you, Hans, and about that, how effective it can be. It can't, wasn't a guy with a gun. It wasn't some phobia. If it is a, looks just like the head of a rat, I got an opinion. And I'm going to turn on at
4.93.44, my son. But the stock on it, the foregrip and the stock were the way it used to be. But now the rifle there, they've modified it. The forward grip, it's almost like an angled attack handguards itself. Firearms a call now, 254-983-4417.
Arch Coons, the owner, is helping all of his guys. Highway 190-983-4417 and a whole lot more.
You decided to carry a hand. You better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, Aaron's Gun Shop and 697, your training. Go.
All the tough experience, call 88-FIRM or 25.
Bam, yes, sir. I'm back here at Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. We've got about 20. And what we're going to be doing is right about the 20-minute mark, 20 till, I'm going to be playing a recorded interview that Trey did of me some time ago. And we're doing that because there's who the heck this crazy guy is. And then we're going to play something else. Tell you everybody, if you enjoy this show, it ain't cheap and it's not free. And it takes money, time, and effort to keep it on the air. And I want to thank all my sponsors. I cannot thank you enough for having faith in me, for liking what we do here. But there's still room. So what I'm saying, know somebody. If you have a business or a skill or a trade that you think would fit in with this program, or you just want to advertise in general, we can do it. Lots of people listening, and it benefits the show. It helps out. It's the circle of life. The sponsors support the show. The people listen and support the sponsors, and I get to stay on the air and hope everybody wins. So if you like the show, support the sponsors who sponsor the program. Yeah, you might be able to find something a few dollars cheaper online, but that doesn't help anybody, does it? So if we're just talking a few dollars here, I totally understand if we're looking $100 or $200. Yeah, I get it. Totally. I'll do the same thing. But if it's a small difference, that little difference makes a big difference when it comes to a sponsor here in the area. So support this on the air. Also, don't forget to go to like us on Facebook. YouTube channel, the YouTube channel, Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel. It's got a lot of great interviews and a lot of information, a lot of product demo spotlights, but we haven't really done any videos prepped. The recording of Bill Burr. Who's Elijah Woods? Harry Potter. Burr's talking to him. This is some points in there that you
see. Invasion. And
perfect gun shoot in the house. To, so no, but I'm on talk about getting a 22. Everybody makes fun of it. Like, oh, ain't too much. Yeah, just 22. Get like a little 22. You can still hear. If you miss, right? No, I shot a 38 one time with no hearing protection.
Yeah,
I was doing landscaping for this guy. He was like,
oh yeah, that follows.
Yeah, I've been killing.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was like, I got this 8, I never shot it.
Why did you date?
What's he doing? House. No, as you get older, you think about safety, and like I it's just that feeling. Person there, mm-hmm. It's for dinner. If some guy can come in, fight to the death, he just.
To the death.
It's not those doors like this. No, I do think about that. Think about safety. And like I it's just that feeling. Person there, mm-hmm. It's for dinner. If some guy can come in, fight to the death, he just
to the death. It's not
those doors like this. No, I do think about that.
Now Trey, you and you are going
to legislate. We even have host Matt Beatro.
A lot of people ask me that question. I'll tell you. Grandfather's works, and I remember going. Remember, my dad was an artist as well, so he would just shoot it. When you start shooting that young, and it becomes, it's just like a whole bunch of single shot whole tier. I think, man, at 100 yards, I could shoot. I would hang cans off these little leather 22s and those plastic honeycomb boxes. He said, "That's what you got. At a time, one shot at a time." And I got very proficient. Back in the day, I was very good with rifles. But then something happened where I got into pistols and I stopped playing with rifles except for my ARs and all that kind of stuff and tactical type of shooting. But I started with a 22 Colt Teeter, I believe it's called. But I'm still getting, I love it. Rid of it.
So what made you?
I think it has to do with the 1911. I'm an artist myself. I used to draw pictures of G.I. Joes with the pistol. They still have it now. Collector's Armory, something years ago.
that got me World War II. The action figures. I got the Americans on the other side. Later on, I really can't answer that question. It was a sudden happening, but I don't remember exactly what it was, where I just started getting into it. Got enhanced. 96, Bush signed the law to carry license. And it's very hard to get up there, by the way, for self-defense. But my skill with a handgun, if I shoot competitive street-wise, I did type of combat. Enhance your skills. Don't think it loses the fact I am a self-defense shooter. I mean, when I was, where I was living in the time frame I was, under poor management, the Boy Scouts, in that particular troop. And I went in for a little bit, got a few merit badges, but I just never had a special situation in case it ever arose. I'm a gadget guy, okay? And then always be prepared, you know, your standard operating procedure for a person, so I'm independent. Thing came, six. The wars, Afghanistan, Iraq, all that kind of stuff. And this is it's going to take a while for me to explain this, but I was news fanatical because I want to know what's going on with our guys over there every second. And something was, but it made me, I got the bug, I'm starting to look up all this stuff, and you would see the standard things on the internet, but then if you dug deeper and looked at different types of documentation as to what happened and what is not really promoted and what a lot of people don't know, I saw this information concerning the Kennedy assassination. I'm saying, hey, wait a minute here. That opened the gate, and what politicians would tell me, I'm thinking it's all screwed up, because I would hear politicians say it, I would see them say it, and then the news would report it differently. I go, wait a minute, I was there when it happened. You start doubting about economic potentially happening. I'm saying to myself, you know, I'm bonded on, I had the faith of my politician, the faith of government and all this kind of, but I'm telling you, I've seen too many things where politicians and government take care of the pot. Prepper fanatical goes through phases. There's ignorance. And then all of a sudden somebody shows you, you start freaking out. You hyperdrive on preparedness, burnout point. Then you burn out. You recover, and you can say, okay, a problem. I understand how they got me started on being a prepper. And because I'm the type of person who likes to be on the radio and share my knowledge and my experiences, I use this radio to help and tell people, I've been here, done then here, and done this, who had history with me, share it with others.
If you could sum up your philosophy on prepping, how would you do that?
Expect the unexpected. Don't be sitting or standing with your head in the sand. Don't be to the reality of life. Don't think you've got to be accountable. If you have a family, eyes get off your butts. I'm not paranoid. I'm very knowledgeable. And when you have this knowledge and you understand and you know and you see and you study and evaluate and confirm, you go, okay, to be, just know what you need to do and get it done.
We got a little bit of about 10 minutes here left in it. So, you got any stories? I know you're always asking callers for theirs and your guests. You got any you want to share with us?
Yeah, I've got a few stories. There's, I always, in my class, I talk about this. I don't think I've ever talked about this on the air. If I have, I'll just repeat it. But I'm always talking about being a warrior. See these stories from the NRA about how, hey, you know, you should train, or you should be aware of your surroundings. Well, I'll give you a story, a true story. In New York, I'm licensed to carry. I would carry as it was the super hot, you'd alternate to a shoulder. And I'm going down the street up to the intersection. People, Trey, I had two buildings down from me in the alleyway. I wake up the next morning. I didn't wake up. I heard it. Then I went to bed and I woke up the next morning to go down the street. Houses, prostitution, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, I'm walking down the street and being aware of my surroundings, I see the six guys. I'm approaching to go across the other side of the street, and they're converging on me. And there's nobody else around, and I know what's going on. And as they approach, I opened up the right side of my leather trench coat to show them a very nice, pretty Colt Series 70 1911. And I go, not today, guys. The scenario, the area surroundings. Understand there's always a threat. Avoid it if at all possible. It was Penal Code 904. I showed them, hey, you people, may not be four. I was the first person. Various Marines, another was law enforcement. Well, I'm walking the opposite direction on my street with this guy, and he's in a naval uniform, wearing his blues, I guess, with the bell bottoms. And we're walking up the street, and as we're walking up the street, I notice there's a vehicle. It's creeping along, and I go, and I can tell. It's just not the way things happen on this street. So as we're walking up the street, all of a sudden, you know how when you slap your foot on the accelerator, you hear that engine, vroom, right? As soon as I heard that, I knew it was happening. This vehicle races up to parallel us. The driver whips out this chrome stainless steel or something shiny 30 on the side of the driver door. I see it. I grab this guy and body slam him on the other side of the bushes just so we can get down low. The thing was, the individual driving knew the second around, because it didn't matter. I read a threat, and I was aware of my surroundings. I acknowledged as a threat, I was aware of my surroundings, and I did what I had to do at that particular moment to avoid the situation. So that's another scenario. So real things happen. Even if it's not real, if you perceive it to be real, it is real. So you have to know and how to respond to it.
So it's kind of better to err on the side of caution.
Yes, I would think so.
So if you could give listeners one piece of what you consider the most vital piece of advice that you can give, what would that be?
Don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant to life and the situation, the reality out there. And my parent, I am aware. I acknowledge as a threat. I'm aware of my surroundings, and I avoid it if at all possible. And if not, I'm trained to deal with it. And I will deal with it very thoroughly.
Well, Chief, you got anything you want to chime in?
Oh, no. I've known Matt now for a number of years. And, you know, the one thing I can say, he's got a passion that is truly a passion. You don't see it a lot of, you know, because of him, I've changed a lot of things that I've even done and a lot of the ways I think about things. And I have to compliment him on that all the time. But one of the things I can say is Matt has not said a whole lot of things that I don't agree with. And I'm not saying that to blow smoke in the nose of you or anything, but being in the business, I was around them. They didn't pass on to my kids. I passed on to, you know, my friends. And I think that Matt is doing a service that, you know, more people ought to take avail of.
You know, you said something, Chief, about facts. I study what I talk. I pick the facts that are not any way, shape, or form can be argued.
And that's the only way to do it.
And one of the facts is some things are opinionated. Law, depending on who you got that day and who's the jury. The fact is, there is no fact when it comes to that. So you must be aware of that and understand that your line in the sand that gets crossed, you know, the more the time gives you more. You are, and ignorance is not a bad word. That's just meaning you just don't know. Okay. The more ignorant you are, particular situation, the more mistakes you can make, the less options you have, the more trouble you can get into. So I highly recommend people, if you're going to carry a gun, make sure you know what you're doing.
I concur with that 100%. You know, I think a lot about our communities here in the Central Texas area. And, you know, one of the things that I am very proud of is law enforcement around here. But I also know law enforcement is only a human being, like Mr. Doss eloquently said earlier today. Police officers aren't perfect. People aren't perfect. People are going to make mistakes. Police officers are going to make mistakes. And I really appreciate the fact that you don't shy away from saying that. So many times people are truly what they feel law enforcement. I'll be the first to tell you, there is no perfect law enforcement officer. And there is no perfect scenario.
But let me say this. When we talk to those who make mistakes, we don't do that. We say, you see, he's an officer.
He's human.
He's human. He's supposed to be knowledge, but he's human.
Exactly.
He's going to make mistakes. And because those mistakes are very possible, you must take...
It's caused by ignorance. Admit it. There are so many police officers, me included, with 43 years, that aren't where they need to be, up to speed on the laws and up to speed on what's happening currently. You know, just because we were taught something in the police academy, I went to the police academy 44 years ago. And I'm telling you, if you don't keep up with what happens in 44 years, if you don't keep up with something that happens in 6 years, 6 months as far as the law is concerned, the changes in the law, you're going to get behind the eight ball.
I'm pro-law all the way,
yep.
Okay? But here's the deal. Law enforcement, when you look at this video, ladies and gentlemen, probably on Tuesday, you're going to see me showing the penal code that these guys got to learn. It's about this bitch, which I'm doing about... Master it. It's only an inch thick. If you're going to carry, license to carry, master it. Law enforcement officer, he's human. She's human. There's no way you can remember. That's why they sit in the police car for 30 minutes, because they're referencing a penal code to make sure they know what they're talking about. Okay? It's no hidden secret. Trey's giving me the high sign that we've got about less than a minute to go here. But ladies and gentlemen, look. I love doing what I do. If you love hearing what you hear, I need your support. Can't do it by myself. Because referencing a penal code to make sure they know what they're talking about. Okay? That's no, it's no hidden
can't
secret.
Do it, just
Trey's giving me the high sign that we've got about less than a minute to go here. But ladies and gentlemen, look, Trey, what I got. I love
seconds?
Doing what I do.
That's
if you
right.
love hearing what you seconds. Hear, I need your support.
20 seconds is all I said.
Can't do it with just love
certain
what I do.
Response.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. It's a blessed to be around the people I am.
I'll tell you what, Trey, what I got.
Until next week.
20 seconds.
How to dry.
That's
about
right.
All right.
20
well, for 20 seconds is all I said. Love what I do. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I'm blessed to be around the people I am. And until next week, keep it powder dry.
CBS News. I'm Bill Rakoff. With Reince Priebus out as White House Chief of Staff, the administration is putting its spin on the move. CBS's Steve Portnoy.
Secretary Sarah Sanders tells reporters the press first
CBS
began
News.
Talking about
I'm
a change at the Chief
with
of Staff
Reince
level
out
2 weeks
White
ago.
House Chief of
she
Staff,
insists
the administration
the move has nothing
is putting
to do with
its
Reince
spin on
Priebus's
the move.
Feud.
CBS's
with
Steve
the new
Portnoy.
Secretary Sarah Sanders tells reporters the president first began talking about a change.